Welcome back to Rhyme with the Frost Maiden. And the scene that spreads out in front of us is a chaotic one. In a guard room, we have a whole bunch of grey dwarves who have been forcing Nimsy, the halfling speaker of Lonelywood, to fight against a kobold. In the nearby room, separated by a murder hole and arrow slit, Zalfiz and Gon watch on, aghast at seeing their friend and one-time employer treated in this way. Unfortunately, due to their actions, the grey dwarves have been alerted to their presence, and three guards are heading through a door into the room, or soon into the room where Zalfiz and Gon are hiding. But another grey dwarf is heading towards the arrow slit with his heavy crossbow in hand. Gon, Zalfiz, what do you want to do?
So I think I'm going to pop up onto the window or the arrow slit again and just shout at my homunculus servant, who I've called Owly because I'm very practical. It's owl-like, so Owly. Owly, you've got to save Nimby, the halfling. And then, like, I'm hoping Nimby's going to somehow wave at this bird thing, figure it out, and, like, basically Owly's going to drop onto him, pick him up inside the bag, and come out the window.
Okay, so that's the plan, at least that's the hope. So as you shout that, Nimsy sort of looks up at this owl and goes, that's my rescue party! Lonelywood guards, you're crap! But he starts like jumping up and down as this kobold is running towards him and poking at him with this short sword. Gon, what are you going to do?
Has Nimsy jumped up to the servant?
He's trying. He's like jumping towards it, but it's like flapping towards him as some Duergar are sort of readying their crossbows.
I want to hold an action until Nimsy gets in the bag, basically.
Okay. What we'll do is we'll have two of the Duergar going to take a shot at this homunculus, and we'll see what happens.
Well, for the hold an action, do you have to call out what I do?
Yes. Okay. So I can do that. Basically, the second I see Nimsy is safe off the ground, I'm going to cast Erupting Earth in the whole room, and just blast everything in there, and hopefully damage the doors so they can't get out.
A 15 and a 14. What's the homunculus's armor?
13.
Okay, oh no, so that's two hits.
Let me make sure. I'm pretty sure I learned that off.
So they do 8 points of damage to the homunculus.
Oh, 1 second. Sorry. It's that for closing what his hit points are, homie. Bear with me.
He's got to have more than eight.
Well,
I assume so.
You say that.
Come on, D&D Beyond. Here we go.
We love you, D&D Beyond, and Lauren.
Yes,
thank you so
much. We do. Sorry, we do.
It's my media panic.
Hit points is 1 plus your intelligence modifier plus your artificer level, so that's 1 plus 6 plus my intelligence modifier.
Oh no, please be more than 2.
That is 4. We're good. So 11 hit points. Woo.
So it kind of like begins to spiral out of the air as the kind of like a sort of, you know, World War One biplane as it floats down, but it lands on top of Nimbly, opening up the sack of holding, and he just disappears inside as his scream is cut off.
And
Gon, what happens?
The second that Nimsy's off the ground and in the bag, Gon just stomps his foot and casts Erupting Earth in the room, which is a 20-foot square, basically, that causes all the ground to start churning and just erupting. And everyone in the room needs to make a DC of 15 dexterity save.
Okay, I'm not going to roll for all 13 of them, but whether they pass or fail, they're no longer going to be paying attention to the Owly, is that right?
Owly, yeah, he's owl-like. It's very practical, isn't
it? No, I get it. And he flaps, sort of trailing cogs and smoke towards the arrow slit and through. Are you letting Nimbly out?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, yeah. I'm not a monster. I'm a hero.
You live here now, Nimbly.
He drops out of the extra dimensional space and goes, oh my God, thank you so... Zalfiz, gone? Oh, thank God you're here. I thought you... I feel I've changed my voice into something completely different. Oh, you reckon I'll be fine. What's the plan? How do we get out?
we're not necessarily trying to get out.
Don't worry, we have a plan. we're going through those. We're going through those doors. He points to the two closed doors.
And we will. Yeah.
Okay. So you run forward. Luckily, the doors are not locked, and they burst out into a 10-foot by 10-foot corridor. To your left is the guard room, and the doors there are opening. Is the angry Duergar, who have been thrown off their feet by Gon's mighty spell, are heading in your direction.
I watched them try to damage the door when I was like casting the spell to like just fuck up, just destroy it basically.
I can imagine that as the Duergar are pulling against the damaged hinges. Won't hold them for long though. These are strong, strong dwarves. But to your right, the fortress opens out. There's a corridor going down and down and down into darkness with numerous doors and passageways disappearing off to the left and right.
Can Gon cast Locate Object to look for the Black Ice Dragon?
Giant Ice Dragon?
He has an idea of what it is. He can cast Locate Object.
Okay.
Do you need to make a roll?
No, I describe the object that's familiar to me, and I sense the direction the object is in up to 1,000 feet.
It is directly below you.
Okay. We have a look for stairs.
Okay. So basically, do you want to take a corridor or do you want to take a door as you run along?
I will let Xalthus make the calls.
Why? They've gone so badly so far.
Because Gon thinks you're smart.
So based Gon on what we saw on the map that I made back in...
You're not going to get any information about that. It's basically going to be, as you run down this main corridor, the doors behind you will burst open. You can either dive into a doorway or you can dive down a corridor.
Bro, let's go into the corridor. Like, I want to get deeper into the mountain, whichever seems deeper into the mountain. Like, is the door going to go into a room that's deeper into the mountain?
Nice. Okay. So let's move the camera back over to where Graham and Ailey are following this very, very trustworthy Duergar prince into the bowels of Sunblight. Now, one thing we didn't discuss, Ailey, is when you donned Graham's hat of disguise, you changed into a Duergar. What does your Duergar look like?
She has the typical kind of like dark gray skin, and her white hair has remained. On top of her head, it's a close shave, but on her chin and jaw is this beautiful white beard, somehow maintained despite the kind of rough terrain.
Like, nice. When you transform the Duergar
prince, just like my hair went this way.
he seems to blush for a moment and color comes into his cheeks, and he sort of doesn't, you know, he seems a bit nervous around you. He's like, you come with me, prisoner. And he grabs onto your manacles, Graham. Come on, let's go. And he leads you rather more roughly than he needs to through this door into the fortress itself. You are met with an enormous cavern. It is lit with a fiery red glow, and smoke fills it, obscuring your vision. To your right are cages constructed of metal and wood, and there's a couple that seem to be constructed of hardened ice. In each of the cages are strange creatures, some you recognize and some you don't. Some are kind of like huddled in the bottom of the cages. Some are viciously trying to rend against them. And you pass by Duergar guards who seem to be, if anything, riling them up, poking them with spears and laughing at them as you go by. A few of the creatures you pass, one is like this enormous beetle-like creature, which you may or may not recognize as an Umber Hulk. There are a few quaggoths, these like white bear-like humanoids. There's some that you just don't know at all. You do see, in a large icy cage, is a mind flayer, with its tentacles flayed off, staring out at the cavern blankly. As you approach what seems to be a metal lift at the far end of the cavern, two Duergar guards come up to you and they say, and they're looking at you, Ailey.
Yikes. Okay.
Play it cool. This is in my head.
Ailey stoically nods.
Nice.
And they reach forward to grab onto Graham's manacles. And the Duergar who's leading you goes, and they shake their heads and go again to grab onto your manacles, Graham.
Okay. I'm just going to move my hands to the side. They'll just miss.
I'll step in front of him as well. Same rage. I mean, stoic rage.
Because if they grab them, they're just going to slide off my hands. Not even holding on to me. So,
so what do you want to do?
I'll try and, I guess, just maneuver my hands out of the way so they'll miss.
And Ailey, what are you doing as they reach for your prisoner?
I will step in front, and I'm trying to debate if the sentinel reaction helps me protect Graham from hands.
You absolutely can block them, and what I want from you is an intimidate roll.
Okay. I have plus six. Let's do this. Fingers crossed.
They like step back a step, and one of them goes, "Grah!" And the dwarf that's leading you sort of looks at you, looks them both, and then says something again in Duergar or in Undercommon, which neither of you understand. And they back off, and you are led into the lift, and it rises clanking into the darkness. He looks at you both and says, "That was incredibly close. Those two guards were looking for more humanoids to sacrifice to the Chardalin dragon. It is nearly..."
You're sacrificing to a dragon?
Yeah, Zardarik and his two sons, they've been collecting villagers and townsfolk and anyone they can get hold of from the nearby towns. They managed to get a big group from, I forget the name, a town. They captured...
Kerkonic?
Yes, that's the name. Anyway, they're down below by the dragon being sacrificed to its fire. Once it has enough souls inside it, it will rise and destroy the 10 towns. Anyway, let's go up and meet my mother.
In my mind, I'm just saying, Ailey, that is not good. That is very bad.
We have to stop it.
Yes.
So you are led up into the fortress. You are taken down through corridor after corridor, and you kind of do... It's not so complicated that you don't think you can get your way back to this lift. And you arrive at a door, and he gives two large knocks. A man opens, and he's another Duergar dressed in shining plate mail. And he looks you both up and down and says something. And then you are led in. Meanwhile, gone in the South East, you are running through the complex. From behind you, you can hear the sounds of pursuit. And poor Nimbly, he's not called Nimbly, is he? I need to look up his name.
Nimsy,
thank you. Poor Nimsy is struggling on behind you. I can't run as fast as you. Please, we need to find somewhere to hide. Come on, where are you going? What do you want to do?
Niall's muted, I think.
No, I'm not.
I was just thinking. my mouth moving.
I think as he says the word hide, I'm going to... So we're like running down the corridor, right? And as he's like saying, I can't keep up, we need to hide. As he says hide, I'm going to turn and look at Gunn. And as I turn and look at Gunn, I'm going to use an action and disguise myself into a dwarf, because I have the spell disguise self.
Nice. Okay. As a dwarf or a grey dwarf?
A grey dwarf, sorry. Nice. And kind of like just raise my eyebrows at Gunn and say, he said hide.
Gunn following suit, also uses this guy himself to make himself a Grey Dwarf.
the world's tallest Grey Dwarf. Put a Grey Dwarf on the
list. He shrinks a bit.
So you tower above poor Nimbly, who looks you left and right, and then in panic just runs back in the direction you've come.
No, Gon grabs him before he starts running.
And stuffs him into the bag of holding. No.
Yeah, get in.
Hang him and tag him, boys.
At the end of the corridor, three grey dwarves holding crossbows turn in your direction, and then sort of a sigh of relief crosses their faces as they march towards you, and they shout out, "Gah! Gah! Gah! Gah!"
As they're saying that, can I shout in dwarvish? He went that way, pointed to one of the rooms.
Dwarvish or undercommon?
Do they speak any dwarvish? I thought they might speak both.
So they may or may not speak dwarvish, but they're speaking to you in undercommon.
Well, then I ain't gonna wait to talk to
Gon,
undercommon. Gon
just nods and points in another direction.
That's actually better than my idea. I laugh, but it's better than my idea.
Okay, I think that's pretty cool. So you can give me a social role, but a
social role.
So it could be intimidate. It could be I've got Call of Cthulhu things
deception,
in my head right now.
Maybe?
Someone help me. Yeah,
oh
deception.
My God, they're all bad.
But you can roll with advantage because I think holding a prisoner and
okay,
that makes sense.
I'll roll. Oh God, I'm the one doing it. Am I in? They're both minus one. Fuck it.
You have no social skills, even when you're not talking.
No. Oh, no. Can I use my inspiration to roll again?
Oh, good call.
If you want to use your inspiration, you definitely can. Or if before you roll, if self.
Oh my God!
So, you said before you roll. You hadn't rolled.
I did say before you roll. If self is, if you want to do something to try and like. Because obviously you're probably a bit more charismatic. Do you have more deception skill?
Not much more charismatic. I do have more deception skill. Yeah,
okay,
more
if you can think of a way of taking control of the situation so you get another roll, you absolutely can.
Oh boy, I really actually can't. And normally this is why I excel in. Yeah, I know what I'll do. So I cast Mage Hand. So there's a Mage Hand floating around here somewhere.
Okay.
These guys are how far away from us?
They were at the end of the corridor. They're probably much closer now.
So can I go like to one of the rooms near us? Like have, so let's say that Niall or Gon pointed at that room. Can I have the mage hand like close the door?
Oh, I like that. Yes, you definitely can.
There you go. To give him an advantage on his inspiration? Or what are we doing?
It's deception, yeah.
I do. Okay, that works.
The thing is, even if I was good at it, I rolled a 5, a 2, and a 4.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
I got a 13.
A 13 is probably enough, although they look at you as they pass by as if, like, who are these people? I don't recognize either of these dwarves. Why would anyone go in this room? And they push open the room and disappear inside. Your deception roll has got you a moment. What do you want to do?
Gon wants to go over and bar the door.
Just slam it.
Can I like slam it and like block? Is there like something I can put through the handles or something to lock? Like basically lock it.
I have just a device for this thing. Take out my arrow, my collapsible pole, the arrow that I'm using, collapsible pole, and like I'm gonna assume it's like opening
handles.
Out into it's opening out into the corridor,
okay,
and just basically
so...
put the pole across it.
Nice. So yeah, so you have blocked the door. Where do you wish to run? Do you want to go back the way you came? Do you want to carry on further down the corridor?
I think we solved our problem. I don't think we run anywhere. I think we just
stay where you are.
We're confidently. We're looking to go. I guess we're looking to go deeper, Niall.
Yeah, okay. We're trying to find the. That dragon that we saw on the map. It's here, but it's down deeper in the fort. Like it's underground somewhere.
Yeah, it looked to be deep in the mountain, in the spine of the world. Which, when you think about it, actually sounds pretty evil. I've no reason to think it's like where all this ended up anyway.
Nimsy, we need you just to play along. Pretend you're our prisoner in case we come across more Duergar.
Okay, so as you are strolling through the fortress, holding Nimsy like a prisoner, you notice something to your right, which is very strange. The corridor opens up and you see what seems to be a tunnel dropping straight down into a fiery cavern below, and straight up into what seems to be darkness. And at the top of the darkness, there is a cap or a door or some, maybe a gate, but made out of complete frozen ice. Looking down into this drop, you see what could be the edge, the bottom of a Chardalin dragon tail. But it's like 150 feet below you.
It's either that or a nice sculpture. It's one or the other. Like they're having a party in a, yeah, underground rave.
It's like one of those ice bars.
And there's no visible or clear way to get down. Like, it's a smooth shaft. It's not the phrasing I wanted to use, but it's a smooth tunnel.
Yeah, they're very specific in this, in the book, about how hard this shaft is to climb.
We gotta stop doing this motion, Joe. We gotta stop doing this. Oh god, we're children. So it
looks at itself as like spider.
Ah, maybe. Spider. Yeah, yeah. Or
I have an idea.
Oh no.
I conjure. I use conjure animals, and I conjure something big enough to carry us. A giant. Oh, there's not very many giant flying things, is there? There's not. I summon a giant eagle, I guess. Two nice. Giant eagles.
We're going to Lord of the Rings treatise?
Basically, yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. So, you jump on the back of these mighty beasts and descend down to the fiery darkness of the bowels of Sunblight. Meanwhile,
yep.
On in another place in the fortress, Graham and Ailey are entering a room. I think I might actually have a description from here. Let me see if I can find one. That'd be nice. Okay.
All things considered, I'm actually interested to meet his mum.
Okay.
Seems nice.
Three braziers heaped with glowing coals illuminate and heat this long hall. At the eastern end is a hexagonal stone table surrounded by six stone chairs. Seated in the chair facing the drawer is a haggard old Duergar, with long black hair streaked with ribbons of white and fingernails like shards of iron. She is devouring a hearty buffet of cooked meats, mushrooms, and strange underdark fare. Lurking next to her is a small mechanical dragon made of a shiny black substance. Hunched over a hot stove to the west side of the room are three Duergar cooks. And the right next to you at the front of the room is an enormous table on which is a 3D map of 10 towns, well, Icewind Dale, but with 10 towns marked out. And on it, flying above it, is a tiny Chardalin dragon, flying from town to town, burning them with its radiant breath. Hunched over the stove at the west side of the room are three Duergar cooks. At the sight of you, they drop their utensils and reach for their weapons. But the old Duergar says something in Undercommon that keeps them at bay. And she beckons.
These cooks were armed.
Your dinner now.
Be very careful. I wasn't entirely honest. My mother asked me to find, how should I say, a distraction for her, the uprising. And I thought maybe you would make a good distraction. She is very, very dangerous. Don't cross her, whatever you do.
And then he backs out of the room and shuts the door.
What a guy.
Love that for us.
Oh, cool, 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 cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm casually walking with my back as close as I can to the wall. And then I just start walking up the wall very slowly.
I will approach the mother. But also very slowly.
Mm-hmm. She beckons you to sit down. She obviously doesn't recognize you at all, and she's not fazed by Graham walking up the wall. She's raised an arm to stop the three guards approaching you, and she says something in Dwarvish, in Undercommon, her voice very accented. And when you don't respond, she repeats it in Common. And she says,
"No.
I'm assuming my son has brought you here for some bizarre reason of his. But you interest me. Sit down. Join us, or join me in my meal. It is, okay, fried intellect devourer. The brain is a little stodgy, but not too bad. And you there, get off the ceiling and join me here."
Is that Common I hear? Excellent, right. And I just start walking down and I throw the shackles off me, the manacles, and I go to have a seat.
So
what do you have planned for us? Yeah.
Well, the bodyguards, looking very abashed and rather annoyed by having to cater to you, put a plate in front of both of you, and they reveal the kind of like the metal tray that's hiding mm-hmm. it. And there are indeed fried intellect devourers, bluish greenish brains with blue furred paws coming off in each direction, four of them. The smell is, needless to say, disgusting, made worse by the fact that the steaming meal placed in front of you is covered in a light dusting of ash. Would you like
to
drink?
So it would be rude for me to not try this. I'll give it a go. Try anything once.
Ailey does not try it. Ailey's fight or flight has kicked in. No thanks.
No, but you'll know, because I'll tell you through the mental link. I'll let you know that whether it's palatable or not.
It is absolutely disgusting. And if you're actually going to eat it, I need to make me a constitution save.
Oh, I knew it!
Well, I've put it in my mouth. I'm chewing it a bit, and then I spit it out. Is that all right? I'm not going to swallow it.
Yeah, and she doesn't seem abashed by that at all, and she sort of starts devouring it as well.
I'm assuming that's an acquired taste.
You surface folk and your weird food. I am not really expecting you to manage it, but fair play for you for trying. Anyway, why should I not murder you both where you stand?
Yeah. From what I understand, we could be of assistance.
Go on.
I believe your son. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ailey can explain.
I cannot.
Are you keeping up the dwarven guys, Ailey? Or are you going to?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like the. Okay, maybe not. Your son said that you perhaps require a distraction.
Did he?
So that you can enact your plan. Or,
execute order 66. Well, my son is indeed correct there. He has, like he always done, taken a very simple set of instructions, thrown them in the bin, and created something entirely new. But for once, maybe you could be of use. What has he told you of the politics, if anything at all, of Sunblight?
Just that Sunblight are the worst, and yeah.
Yeah, the guards go, yes, the worst!
And that they have to be gotten rid of immediately.
Okay, then.
No tolerance.
As Horv... Around 2 hours ago, we have started our takeover of Sunblight. We at the Muzgarrets, and myself as Matron Muzgarret, have had enough of our tenure in this frozen wasteland. We are leaving, and we are not leaving under the Sunblight rule any further. My clan have spaced themselves around the fortress, ready to strike, but... My fiancé, Zardarok, is powerful. He is the one thing, him and that disgusting dragon creature that he has created. The only thing that I worry for, maybe you could provide that distraction. You could distract Zardarok, kill him if you could. We will use that as an opportunity to take over this fortress. And you may have your lives and an ample reward as befitting someone who has enabled this treachery.
Well, Ailey, thoughts? I'm doing this in my mind.
She will respond in her mind. I want to ask about the dragon. That should be something we get involved with, even in the coup.
Yeah.
So what about this dragon?
Have you heard about that dragon downstairs? Yeah.
Crazy, huh?
Kind of whack. What's going on?
So what are you asking? Obviously, a lot of this is taking place in this sort of mental.
Yeah, we're just like staring at each other.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've said out in the open on the table for mum to hear. Yeah.
Mumsy.
So, mother, tell me. What were you saying about a dragon? Your husband has a dragon.
Fiance is not my husband, rather he wishes to join the mighty Musgarats to their puny sunblights. And he has me hostage here, but he has created a larger version of this. And she reaches up and strokes the crystalline dragon, which is crawling up and down her arm. A mighty version of this from the Chardalin crystals collected throughout the Dale. He is right now infusing it with the souls of those puny humans and surface folk that he's captured from nearby towns. With every death, it gains in power. I believe he wishes to, and she points over to the table, send it off against the 10 towns. You can see it, the route over there. It
what would your fiance need to send this monstrosity against the 10 towns?
Hours, time, minutes, who knows? Maybe it's left already. He's sacrificing the villages as we speak. And when it is full to brimming with souls, as he says, it will fly
perhaps
out.
Perhaps if myself and Ailey were to maybe interfere with the sacrificing process, maybe we could
distract him.
Mm-hmm.
She
wouldn't that get his attention?
And yes. Says,
you, give me the thing. And she clicks her fingers. And one of the guards brings over something which looks like a long tube. This rocket. When you have him at prime distraction and you are ready for Musgarat to take control, light this rocket. It will signal I'll take over. Here.
She thrusts it into your hands, and it's basically like a giant firework with a huge fuse at the bottom.
Wow. Okay. Where would we find the dragon? Yes. Where are these sacrifices taking place?
Down below. My guards will take you down to him. But they will not accompany you onto the furnace floor. We cannot give away our treachery before... before the rocket goes off, we will get in place. You two, go. Send out the words. Send out the command. There will be blood tonight.
And as you are led, unless there's anything else you wish to do.
No.
And as you are led out of the room and into the darkness of a set of secret corridors, which will take you eventually down to the cavernous furnace below, we are going to change the camera to Zelfiz and Gon as you descend down the icy tunnel to the same location. This is a complicated room, and I do apologize. It would be, I'd love for people to see the map. That would be fantastic. Unfortunately, we haven't managed to get that done today, so I will do my best to describe it. It's a tricky one. It's mainly just paying attention to the main kind of things that you see. So let me see. So smoke fills this warm cavern, which has a ceiling that ranges from 40 feet high down to 20 feet along the southern wall. The source of the smoke and the heat is a 10-foot tall stone forge shaped like a pyramid with its peak sheared off. Ripples of heat and flashes of firelight spew from the top of the forge, which emits a deep pulsating heartbeat. There is a line of villagers and townsfolks stripped their undergarments, lining up this ziggurat and being thrown down into the fiery depths of the forge below. From your elevated height, you can see them drop down into a fiery inferno, and at its center, something red and pulsating. Can you both give me a quick nature roll to see if you recognize this thing?
Oh man, my forehead was thinking sanity.
All right, at. Maybe I'll roll above a 10.
Yeah.
I got a 18 plus 3, 21.
18 plus Woo! 3, okay. This, at the center of the forge, is a pulsating red dragon's heart.
Oh, wow.
Powering its dark magics. Overlooking the forge, a 5-foot deep trough extends east from the forge. A fiery river of what seems to be lava, which flows down between rows upon rows of black anvils. Overlooking the forge are 4 20-foot tall guard towers. And from your elevated height, you can see that each guard tower has 3 grey-strewn dwarves in, standing behind their low battlements. South of the forge is something incredible. An enormous 5-foot-high iron platform fitted with cranes and clamps. A short iron flight of iron stairs leads up to it, and on it is an incredible creature. A huge dragon formed of crystalline chardolin with a fiery burning heart at its center and glowing red eyes. It stands motionless as one by one the townsfolk are fed into the forge. There's a flash of light and something flies from the forge into the dragon's being, and that fiery rocket in its center begins to expand. Standing before, or in between the forge and the dragon, is Zardok Sunblight. A grey-skinned dwarf dressed in an armor of chardolin with a 9-pointed crown on his head, with chardolin gauntlets directing the guards who are feeding the villagers into the forge. As you look to one side, you see Graham and Ailey entering, unseen, near one of the guard towers. No one seems to see you as you descend on this giant eagle.
Just 2 eagles. just
eagle. Come on. We're rolling cheap here. We're falling down.
Yeah. Zephyr's?
I think we are not in a good place. Look, I don't know what we need to do. First thing we need to do here is, I don't know if we can stop that inferno or that dragon heart, but we need to cover it up or stop people being sacrificed to it. Because you heard...
We don't know what's going on.
The speaker was saying he was sacrificing... Last episode, he said he was sacrificing or trying to control the villagers. And that was giving power to something. We didn't know what it was at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
See? We know that the villagers are bringing power to whatever this plan is. We need to stop them being thrown into that inferno.
Then we need to get down to that forge.
Yeah, like I don't know. I don't know how we do that. Like, is there anything? Is there any convenient like capstones or anything that looks like it would have actually covered over this?
No, definitely not. And Alien Graham, what do you wish to do is you're kind of led into the edge of this cavern. Before you, the scene that I described spreads out. You've got one of the guard towers rises 20 feet above you to your left. In front of you is the forge, and to your right is the mighty dragon with Zardarok standing in between it, the forge and the dragon.
So I'm guessing I can see Zelfis and Gon. Yeah, we can see.
You need to give me perception rolls. They are up the tunnel above the dragon, so you do have sight of them. You'd have to glance up to see them.
Okay.
And just a quick question: the guard is no longer with us.
No, he's left you at the door.
I dropped the disguise.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. Pick up the I grabbed the
pass back.
The
hat. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you give me a perception roll?
Yes, I got a 17.
17, yes, you do. You glance up, and believe it or not, there are two eagles floating up very high up in the ceiling. One which presumably has Zelfis and Gon on because they're talking to each other, and the other one has Lady Pen and Nimbly on, I'm guessing.
Okay. And I'm waving, trying to get their attention, but without obviously alerting anything else. Being like, oh, that's them.
Your friends?
Yeah, finally.
How high are they?
Giant blue one.
They're 40 foot.
I owned you that weekend.
40? Okay. 40 so
the
from
one
that height,
looks like it's mostly hair. No.
Mostly hair. Well, from that height, I can connect mentally still.
Nice. Okay. So you can discuss as a group what you wish to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here, but we've got to stop those people dying.
Another villager is thrown to their fiery death.
The folly is amazing.
We met with the mother. No,
the mother.
The mother. We're going to bring you up to speed with everything that happened there.
We have to do something now.
Gon, seeing this, commands the eagles that he's on to. He wants to just basically get down and stop the dwarf that's throwing people into the furnace. He wants to get to the furnace.
Nice.
And we can tell that he's like force pushing basically with this gauntlet. Is that what it looks like to us?
There's two guards at the top of the... there's actually quite a few guards. If you look around, there'll be six Duergar in and around this line of villagers who are sort of keeping them in line and pushing them up and then throwing them into there.
As we get closer, as I get closer anyway on the eagle, I would like to jump off its back and have the eagle basically swoop at the dwarves that are throwing them in and knock the dwarves in. And
nice.
Try to stop people getting thrown in.
Okay, so that's what you're going to do. Let's plan it out before we do it. Zelfis, you're on the same eagle, so you're kind of committed unless you want to jump off or do something different.
Am I on the second eagle? Let's just establish that.
Well, you were kind of talking to each other, but I guess
we can talk
shouting
back and forth to each other.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Sorry, Joe.
when I've surveyed the area, I've seen this crazy demonic looking dwarf king what's it called? What's the actual dark guy's called again?
Chardolin.
So like, I know the Chardolin is not good stuff and very powerful, so I'm going to try and cast Shatter on him.
Nice. Ooh. Okay, so you're going to swoop down and cast Shatter on him. Okay.
Yes.
Ailey, what do you want to do?
I would like to channel Divinity, Watcher's Will, for Graham, who's next to me. So he will have advantage on intelligence, wisdom, and charisma saving throws for
nice.
A minute.
Okay.
Very cool.
Is everything... I think maybe I'm struggling with the room, but is everything... Where are we in that position? Because I know we see
the dragon is in the south. Oh, nice. We even have a map. So the sort of square, the large square in the center of the dragon is, there's this sort of like fiery channel there. And then in front of that is the ziggurat. You're the sort of northwest corner of the room.
Okay. And ziggurat is the fiance, just remember.
The ziggurat is the pyramid, the forge.
Oh, yeah.
The fiance is in between the forge and the...
He's called Zardarok.
Platform. Yeah, Zardarok.
Zardarok. I'd like to javelin him.
Nice, okay. You're definitely in range. Definitely in range. Okay. So you're going to attack. Graham, what do you want to do? Remember, you're probably holding this rocket as well.
Yeah. I'm putting the hat on my head the hat of disguise, and I want to look like the mum. or their fiance.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm storming out. I'm assuming he's there, right? He's in.
Yeah, he's right in the middle. He's like directing all these villagers. Yeah, dying.
You want to browbeat him? This will be amazing. Into submission, as browbeat him into submission.
So I'm assuming that she's being held against her will at the moment.
Who?
So the fiance, you said at the moment she is.
No, the fiance is Zardarok. You've left Grandorfer Muzgart up in the room.
Yeah, I mean
the mom's not there. Mom's not there.
No, but she's been held against her will at the moment.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant like actually in the room. No. Yes, yeah, she does seem to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna storm in. I'm gonna put on the hat. I'm like, thank you for the charisma, Ailey. I'm probably gonna need this. Put it on.
Right. Stop there. Right. Let's all roll initiative and let's see what happens. Let's see how this plays out. But if you guys want to hold off to see what Graham does, that's possible. So let's get the initiative count ready for this, the epic battle, the finale of Rime and the Frost Maiden season one. So Zalfiz, how do you do?
I rolled a 22.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Get in. Finally. Finally done an initiative.
Gone.
Oh God. Here we go. Ooh, 17 plus 1, 18.
Nice. Okay, Ailey.
Right? 7.
Graham.
Oh, let's take a look. 18.
18. Nice. Okay. Let's see how the dwarves go. I'm going to do the guards together. So they get a 10. And Zardarok, I'm going to do him separately. He gets a... Oh, God. He gets
nice.
Thank God. He's very distracted.
So now we have initiative in place. Let's keep out of initiative for now as Graham strides forward as Grandolfer Muzgat.
And I sort of look at him and I'm like, I cannot believe you. I cannot believe you.
He turns around and goes, ah, my lady, you have come here to see my victory. See, my pet is almost ready. Deep Dura is going to be pleased with the sacrifice of the puny surface folk.
I look at him and I walk over very slowly and I'm looking around at what he's doing and I'm like, this work is amazing. Truly amazing. I can't believe I didn't, you know? And then I turn to him and I slap him across the face.